The Hard Shoulder on News Talk
with Nissan. Let's go the distance by keeping our distance. Nissan, innovation that excites.
Oh yes, the boss banging it out there. Well, we said, who can Ivan tolerate that's American living in Ireland? And there was only three left. Jim Elliott, comedian, joins me in studio.
That's Gina, the nicest thing you've ever said about me.
Gina London, corporate communications advisor and Sunday Independent columnist. And our good friend, a regular Larry Donnelly, law lecturer at NUI Galway. Now, I want to ask you both, ask all of you questions. And sometimes when I want to put people on the spot, Micheál Martin, our Taoiseach, took 37 seconds to answer when I asked him to describe Leo in one word. Describe America in one word to you, Jim. What it means to you?
America. Is that a good enough one?
No. One word to describe what America means to you.
Freedom. No, I'm not going to use freedom as my... sure, why not? One word, we'll call it that. For all
freedom.
For all the negative things that people use when they want to spin it the way
they
want.
I said one word and we stick to it. Larry, one word?
Hope.
Hope. Okay, Gina, one word?
Responsibility.
Okay. Interesting. See, it makes you think and focus. Now I'm going to ask you one other one-word question, because I find all these discussions become discussions not about contemporary America, but about Trump's America and Trump in 2020 and all that. So just for our listeners' sake, and you can give any answers, but I give you three choices. On Trump, would you be for, against, or ambivalent? Gina.
Against.
Against? What?
And you, what are you, Jim?
Against.
Okay, and Larry?
Against.
Okay, so now at least when you go on to berate him, we know where you're coming from.
Ivan, I have a passport. How am I going to be for him?
All right. But I just think for listeners, when people diss America, they have to regard that maybe 38% might vote for him. So not necessarily majority. So if you're dissing him, you're dissing America. So let me ask you first, Gina, how will you celebrate Independence Day? And how is it different to your sense of America 10 years ago, 20 years ago?
Wow, great question. This particular year, I'm not really celebrating it. I have to say your lovely, my new lovely Irish weather is not really accommodating tomorrow for a barbecue and lots of friends and certainly no fireworks. So we will maybe wear red, white, and blue, and I might play some John Philip Sousa for my 12-year-old daughter to indoctrinate her to the lovely sounds of that. But for the most part, this year, probably not so much. There's no embassy party at the U.S. Embassy this year, you know. But 10 years ago, gosh, 10 years ago, I was actually back living in the U.S. And we would have been on the Washington Mall. And we would have been crowded with everybody with our picnic baskets and watching the fireworks and looking out toward the Lincoln Memorial. And I love the 4th of July. I mean, we grew up with little kids going to Indiana, going out on our blankets on the county fairgrounds, looking up at the sky and having those barbecues and thinking about what it meant for the signers of the Declaration of Independence and the Constitutional Congress.
I'm getting a strong sense that this is important to you, and it's part. Having lived in Ireland, would it be similar to St. Patrick's Day? And if so, how might it vary from the way Ireland treats St. Patrick's Day?
My question, it's very similar in the sense that there's revelry, there's celebration, there were parades, there are people dressing up in red, white, and blue, there's beverages of the adult kind and others, and it's just a great coming together, unlike what I think is happening this year.
Okay, Larry, same question. Independence Day of the past, and what will you do tomorrow?
Well, tomorrow I'll probably have a few beers with my friends back in Boston on Zoom, and we'll probably listen to John Cougar Mellencamp rather than any classical musicians who I'm sure Gina knows from her native Indiana.
Indiana boy.
So it will be, you know, that, and of course the 4th of July is always an important day. But in terms of how I'll feel and how I'll regard it, it's not a huge deal different to how I would have regarded it 10 years ago or even 20 years ago. in the sense that I've been concerned about the direction of the United States for some time now. And I don't actually believe that Donald Trump is the cause of the problems or the cause of the current division. He hasn't helped things, but I don't think he's the cause of it. I actually think he's a symptom of it. And it's a drift in the United States and a malaise in the United States that I've been concerned about for a long time now.
We will take a deeper dive into that. Jim, the same question. Mm. What will you do tomorrow and how would you have compared in the previous decades?
I mean, tomorrow I'm not going to... I've been here for so long that it doesn't... 4th of July doesn't mean a whole lot to me. It's not a corporate holiday, so I still, if it were a weekday, I'd still be going to work. I would wear... I've got some red, white, and blue socks that I'd put on. I might wear a baseball jersey or something like that around, but outside
of that... So you keep it to socks and underwear. You wouldn't do ostentatious displays.
No, not at all.
Whereas when you were back in Yankee Doodle Dandy Land, what did you do?
Oh well, it's baseball and beers and barbecue, and everybody gets together, and there's probably a game or two on, and you just grill out, and then maybe you stay up to watch the fireworks on TV, or maybe you go downtown. Usually that's kind of for kids, you know what I mean? If you've got,
would it be one of your most iconic childhood memories?
Iconic childhood memories.
The way people look at Christmas, for example.
Nah, Christmas trumps it every time.
Okay.
Christmas bests it every time. There we go. Not going
to
say that.
Okay, how does it compare to Thanksgiving Day?
See, Thanksgiving, again, is another... Okay, ever since I was old enough to get politically aware, the patriotism behind the 4th of July makes me a little bit nervous because I'm not sure a lot good comes out of blind patriotism anymore, whereas Thanksgiving is a lot about let's get the family together and actually go around and talk about what we're thankful for, and that's kind of more wholesome to me.
Okay, staying with you, Jim, because you're here with me in studio, the territory that... Larry started to delve into how is America perceived in the world now? In other words, when they say, oh, Jim, you're a Yank, as opposed to how they might have said it previously, do you think America's standing in the world has gone down and or up and why?
I think, when I first moved here, George W. Bush was president. And so I would get basically the exact same thing. People would go, oh, where are you from? Making sure I wasn't Canadian so they didn't mess up the accent. And then when they realized I was America,
they might have been much nicer to you. Yeah,
the taxi driver would give me the stare in the mirror and go, so are you a Bush man? And that's basically what you get now is you're going, okay, well, the guy in charge for the next 4/8 years seems to be a little bit of a nut job. Where do you stand on that? But that's more about who's in charge. I don't think people really feel any different about America other than that between the Iraq war and this, our handling of COVID, I think people are maybe stopping to rely on, well, the Americans will come up with something to get us out of this, because it really doesn't look like we have the appetite for that anymore.
Yeah, that's where I want to go with this, Gina. I submit to you that there's been a change. First of all, America is in huge debt to China, that there, but with Putin getting the act together and the evolution of China, that America's standing in the world has gone down a bit as the world's policeman.
I think it's not just gone down a bit. Actually, I would push much further than Jim did on that. I think we have gone down, like you just mentioned, economically. We've gone down from a militarily standpoint in terms of who you can depend on as an ally. And 100%, we have gone down morally as a leader and as some country to look up toward. And I know that Larry mentioned hope, but I think the hope is that the country can turn itself around. And I hope that there is still hope right now in the United States, as I think it is a revolutionary reckoning time as we look towards the 4th of July tomorrow and to Mount Rushmore today.
But Gina, is it not the case that the last recession on America is partly what drove Brexit was a kind of sense of protectionism? Hey, we're, multinationals all over the world. We want to bring the jobs back home, and all of that narrative in terms of if you were going gangbusters good all the time, maybe that sentiment mightn't have occurred. And that then rolls into an anti-multilateralist approach and so on.
Well, there's a lot to unpack there, and I'm not necessarily equipped to be quite as adept as my colleague Larry on some of the history on this. But when I covered 9/11 for CNN, that would be my turning point for when the United States began to look more inward. It went initially right after 9/11, and George Bush was bringing us all together, and there was a unifying thing, and that went out to let's be retaliatory and let's go this way. And then the division between the Republicans and Democrats, to me, got a lot more chasmic, and we keep going farther and farther apart from each other until where we are. And I do agree that Trump isn't the cause. He's a symptom, but he certainly has been a loud broadcaster for the very things that continue to divide the country. And it is at a place, as I was last week in the 40th anniversary Zoom call with 600 of my former CNN alumni on the 40th anniversary of CNN, the former president and CEO of the news gathering organization, Tom Johnson, said never in his lifetime, even as he covered Vietnam, has he seen a country as divided and polarized and tense as it is at this very moment.
Larry, the same question. America's standing in the world in the eyes of others?
Well, America has a bit of a damned if you do and damned if you don't, I suppose, stance on this, in the sense that what brought about America's diminished standing in the world in so many respects was its military interventionism and the things it did wrongly around the world. And that not only affected the rest of the world, it affected a lot of America, particularly that part of America known as Middle America. So to me, the two major political parties long ignored the reality of the damage they were doing outside the U.S. and within the U.S. To me, to recalibrating and saying, we don't want to be the world's policeman. We want to have a different relationship with the rest of the world. To me, that was an entirely logical and justifiable statement by the American people. Electing Donald Trump might have been the right answer, but I completely understand the impulse that led to that.
Okay, so let's look to the future. It is an election year. Can Joe Biden change this? Black Lives Matter protests currently. Are things changing in America, Jim?
Things are absolutely changing in America. I wasn't around then, but I've been talking to my parents about how much does this feel like 1968? And their answer is it feels a lot like it in terms of just the unrest, the ongoing unrest. It's not in the media anymore, but they're still marching Black Lives Matter protesters every day in New York City. So it's still going on. It's not the headlines anymore. I hope that America's changing. And the metaphor I've been using is talking about the acceptance of gay marriage and the LGBTQ movement, in that it was unacceptable and almost unthinkable forever. And then all of a sudden, it was there and everybody was on board. Now, there was a lot of activism, and I don't mean to diminish the good hard work and hard yards put in by a lot of people to get us to that. But it changed slowly and then quickly, if that makes sense. And that is my hope, to go back to Larry's point about hope. I hope that this is a reckoning for civil rights in America, that slowly, slowly, slowly people started to realize, well, gosh, it's really just not fair for black people in the States. And then all of a sudden, bam, everybody's like, well, of course it's not fair. What are you talking about? Who could even think it? So if we've crossed that Rubicon, then yeah, things are going to change. If we haven't, and if people are going to push back, then no, more of the same.
Biden,
like Larry said, the problems predate Trump. Trump is not the cause, he's a symptom. So you get him out of office, and it's not like everybody's going to be happy and harmony and peace and flowers. All of the problems that are there are still going to be there. Biden might be able to use the current unrest to become the next president, opportunistically and politically. Not that any politician's ever been opportunistic. I wouldn't want to imply that. But yeah, no, he stands to benefit to take the Oval Office if he can. Hopefully he's the kind of guy that people can agree on. You know what I'm hoping for out of Joe Biden? I would like a president that I don't have to think about every day. Wouldn't that be nice to go 48 hours just without thinking about the president of the United States?
Okay, the future, Gina.
Hey, you know, the thing about Joe Biden, having worked with the Democratic Party and the Senate Campaign Committee when he was in the Senate before he was vice president, is that what's interesting about him, not like Trump as a president, is that he has been known for reaching across the divide and for bringing other smart people around him and listening to other opinions and having respect over the years that he's been in of being that kind of collaborator as a leader. And back to the idea that you can not be the police of the entire world, but you can be a leader that has moral authority and stands for values. And there are, I think, some opportunities for Biden, not just to be opportunistic, but to actually seize upon this moment where people are looking for guidance and looking for leadership, and not someone who's running into the literal and the proverbial bunker at times when leadership is needed.
And do you agree with Jim that we're on the cusp of quite sudden change in relation to Black Lives Matters and so on?
I think the Black Lives Matters movement's been going on for some time, but I think that the George Floyd visual, that is a pivot point, just like the entire Me Too movement had a pivot point and actually has made some lasting changes. I hope that there will be lasting changes that come from all of this. Because again, it's not enough to paint Black Lives Matter on the Fifth Avenue in New York. That has to be connected to policy and to some real change. And if it can't come from the federal level, I hope the same way that right now in the United States, that cities and counties who are now mandating masks because the federal government hasn't done it, that the local jurisdictions will take the lead if the federal government doesn't.
So, Larry, your sense of change, what the election will bring in 2020?
Gina, to the extent that I think Joe Biden is probably best positioned to reach out to people. I think America is having a moment of historical reckoning, particularly on the issue of race, which is very, very long overdue. But in terms of uniting the country, I think one thing that has to be recognized is, yes, there are a lot of haters who voted for Donald Trump, and that's very sad. But there are also a lot of good, decent Americans, some of them my friends and family who voted for Donald Trump. They need to be reached out to. They need to be spoken to because a lot of them were hurting. A lot of them are not haters. They're good people. And I think if we're going to really talk about uniting the United States and going forward together, then I think that has to be a big part of it. In terms of the election in the shorter term, this really is going to be down to whether Joe Biden can withstand the heat and whether the economy can do anything between now and the meantime. But it doesn't look good for Donald Trump right now.
Okay, just a couple of texts. Obviously, Trump supporters, God bless the great United States of America and President Donald J. Trump and give him 4 more years, says Jerry. Yates, says Steve, you Protestant fool. Whatever that's got to do with anything. what does he go on to say? Ask these guests who will protect America when China starts knocking Biden or Trump. No, I'm not going to ask you that question because I'm going to complete this as I started. A final quick question, which again, in one word, which TV show or film would you say best captures America? I'll start with you, Larry.
Oh, God, you've caught me on the hop there.
Friends?
Oh, God, I can't think.
West Wing?
Think
West Wing? I mean, to capture America. Okay, Jim, okay?
Seinfeld.
Seinfeld.
I'm going Seinfeld.
Why?
Because the people that bicker incessantly but ultimately get along and get up to some cool stuff. That's
okay,
why.
Okay. I haven't watched it, so I can't disagree
with
you.
Yeah, I can't believe you said Friends. That's disgusting. Well, who would bring up Friends before Seinfeld?
It's American. It's crap.
easy there, Mrs. Brown's boys.
Gina, what
did
would
you say? It was my option, TV show or movie, because I have
movie,
a great
movie. Yeah, you have it. You can pick one of each if you like.
My favorite movie that sums up Americana, and if you haven't seen it, please do yourself a favor over the weekend, is Breaking Away. It's the late 1970s in Indiana, and it's a story of the local bicycle team taking on the bigger dogs of the university and winning. And it has got so many great Americana tropes, and it is a cult.
Yes, Larry, you've had a light bulb moment, Larry. Yes,
I have. As a Bostonian, as a program that captures all of life's entities, I'm going to have to say cheers.
I knew you were going to say cheers.
All right, my sincere thanks for that. Potpourri of American life, and hope that all Americans in the country enjoy the 4th of July, although it's going to rain in Ireland, don't you know? Larry Donnelly, Gina London and Jim Elliott, thank you one and all for being our acceptable face of America living in Ireland.
The Hard Shoulder on Newstalk
with Nissan. Together, let's play our part by staying apart. Nissan, innovation that excites.